How many of you have had your DNA testing done so that you could, you know, get the lowdown on your ancestry? And once you got the results, you were super excited. You finally found out who and where you came from. Did you find out, did you notice, did you hear, did you read about the percentages? And they're saying basically 48% is roughly the level of certainty of the results. 48%, not quite half, not quite 50%. And so, maybe we do know, maybe we don't know. I mean, basically, you know, a little less than 50% that the findings are accurate. We got so excited. Okay, yeah, I know something about where I came from. I know something about who I came from. And maybe we know a little bit more than we did before we got the results. Maybe not much more. All right. They're looking at these A's and T's and C's and G's. And they were saying that, you know, just 12.5%. That's pretty interesting, I think. So they were saying that one person in England 1,000 years ago got an S&P where an A was swapped for a C at position 3455. Many of that person's descendants will have exactly the same S&P. More importantly, because you have billions of possible positions where one might occur, S&Ps are unique. If you have an A to C S&P at position 3455, there's a very high chance your ancestors are from England. But again, if not, that doesn't mean you're not originally from England. It just means you don't have that particular marker. Now, looking again, though, at the genealogical testing, if person A and person B have around 12.5% of their DNA in common, that sounds like such a small percentage. But listen now, they're saying that 12.5% of DNA in common, it's absolutely identical. They could say that A and B share a grandparent. If persons C and D share 50% of their DNA, those people are either a parent and a child or two full siblings. So here's the difference. Ancestry testing is based on a potentially faulty model, whereas genealogy is about pure math. It's not about how much information you give to companies. It's how much information we all give to the companies. And not just how much information one individual gives, it's how much information we all give. The alleged Golden State Killer was not caught because he handed over his DNA. A cousin of the alleged Golden State Killer uploaded his own DNA to a free amateur site that allows users to find relatives by using a full genomic sequence, which he presumably got from some kind of paid service. Some companies like 23andMe and Ancestry allow customers to download their raw data, which they can then upload to other websites. In part, it's because of companies like GED Match, the site that the cousin used, that we're so quickly encountering DNA-related privacy issues. Companies like Ancestry and 23andMe have historically refused requests from law enforcement, perhaps because they know consumers wouldn't feel as comfortable handing over their DNA to a company that might give that data to the police. That's not to say that they'll be able to stand up to a court order, though. What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? We have a lot of people very interested in finding out more about their ancestry. Like I say, who and where they've come from. And of course, we know that, you know, a lot of this got kicked into high gear as a result of the movie Roots and some of the work that was done by a number of people to encourage more exploration of our roots, our ancestries. And people of various ethnicities are really, really excited about this, intrigued by it. And so a lot of people are giving up their DNA. Do you think that down the road, that may be something that people may live to regret? And remember, it's not just who is giving up DNA. It's not just who's not giving up DNA. It's both. As I said just a few minutes ago, the so-called Golden State Killer was tracked down as a result of DNA samples that his own cousin gave just for his own exploration purposes, apparently. And so just like on Facebook, you give a little bit of information and a whole lot of information is extracted from you, whether you like it or not. You suppose we'll have that same situation coming up with regards to DNA samples that have been turned over willingly and voluntarily? It's not really about what you personally hand over. If enough people provide their DNA, companies or law enforcement could theoretically begin building profiles for everyone else. Much like Facebook can have files on people who are not on Facebook. When you hand over your genetic data, you hand it over forever. No one can tell you whether that's a good idea for you personally, but you should carefully consider the potential ramifications, especially if it's all for an estimate. You're wanting facts, more than likely, when you're trying to find out what's happening with regards to ancestry, who and where you came from. But for the most part, you're not getting rock-solid facts. You're getting rock-solid estimates. If detectives and lawyers and crime lab technicians are already making mistakes with what little DNA evidence we have, think how many more mistakes they could make with entire databases. Don't assume that just because they have much more information that they're going to make far fewer mistakes. I agree with them. The risk of mistakes increases, probably exponentially, as the amount of DNA information increases exponentially. Even the Golden State Killer nearly got misidentified. An Oregon court forced a 73-year-old man to provide a DNA sample when detectives claimed they had evidence that he was the serial killer in 2017. Mistakes happen. Sometimes falsehoods are told. DNA is not infallible, and we'd do well to remember that. Giving your full genome to a free website could help you find long-lost relatives. But wait, there's more. It could even help put away a dangerous criminal. But it could also get one of your cousins called in for a crime that he or she did not commit.